Blog Talk Radio.
If our heart is not given to Allah, then we cannot expect the growth in healthy sentiment. But then Allah promised us another growth. And that growth is the growth in knowledge and understanding, growth in the sciences. And it came as the blessing to Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him, the Quran, the revelation that contains the light and guidance for the whole of life and for all time, came to Prophet Muhammad as a mercy to the world, as guidance to the believers, as a mercy to the world. Dear beloved Muslims, we want to fulfill the life, we want the whole life that Allah has created for us. We don't just want the life of spiritual and not the life of material. Allah wants us to have the sciences. Allah wants us to have leadership in the sciences. Without that, we can't be truly a strong community. A strong community needs science. It needs men that are devoted to apply those sciences for the benefit of society. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the best of you is the most useful of you to society. The best of you is the most useful of you to his society. So we have to benefit society. We have to apply the knowledge for the benefit of society. Look how the sciences have been abused. They have applied the sciences for the benefit of the power establishment. They have used the sciences as obedient servants to the rich and mighty, with no thought as to the obligation to serve the best interests of the common masses of people. Yes, those who will truly discharge the responsibility, that responsibility, they will serve the best welfare of the people. They will serve the good welfare of the people. Look how they say we have made a mistake in designing the cities. The cities are too cluttered. There's not enough natural life in them. Too much noise, too much pollution, etc., etc. Right? Why you made that mistake? Because the science was serving the capitalists. The science was serving the capitalists. That's how come they made that mistake. If the science had been serving humanity, they wouldn't have made that mistake. They would have considered that this is too dead for human beings. Let's put some grass here. Let's put more grass here. Let's bring more trees here. This is too dead for human beings. But they were only trying to get more wealth, more material wealth, so they made a messy job. They oppressed life instead of serving the life. Yes. So many Muslims come into this religion, and you know what this religion holds for you. Do you think it's not possible that you can become the leaders in science? There was Ghana in Africa, other fellows of scientific study, research, and development in Africa before the days of our prophet, peace and blessings be on him. There were scientific centers in Greece before the days of our prophet, peace and blessings be on him. Many places had scientific development before the coming of Prophet Muhammad, peace and the blessings be on him. But their light had gone out. They had regressed. They had toppled. They had been toppled. They had fallen down. They had lost what they once had acquired. And it didn't come from learned, the scholarly people. The revival didn't come from the scholarly people. The revival came from the Ummiyin. The Ummiyin. The unlearned people. Under the Ummiyi prophet of Muhammad. The unlearned prophet. That's where the revival came. And what made it possible? The revival of the sciences? That book, Al-Quran al-Kareem, to Prophet Muhammad. That's what made it possible. Now you study history and look at the character of the populations now in the West, in America. Look at the character of the population. I'm talking about Chicago, massive population. Detroit, San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York. All right? All of these centers where the population are concentrated. Look at the character of the population. And you'll find the character of the population resembles the character of the population in the time of ignorant Arabia. The time called Jahiliyyah. The same character is there. What are the manifestations in these cities now? An overly occupation with self-gratification of the lower senses. Not the higher senses, the lower senses. Isn't that right? All right? And a fixation with material interest. Just can't get out of it. It seems to be a fixation. The behavior, the chemical, the biology just seems to be fixed there in the material interest. And we don't want to give much attention to the higher reality. We're just fixed right here in this transitory, lower vision of what the real is. Right? Yes. Look at another manifestation. The people are under crime. The people are oppressed in these big populations by crime. Crime is the oppressor in all of these big populations. In the time of Jahiliyyah, when Prophet Muhammad came in Arabia, the same manifestation was there. The criminals were dominating the society. Not the moral fish people. The moral people weren't dominating. The criminals were dominating. The same manifestation. And look again, in these populations that we have, in these big populations, great populations in these big cities, not for blacks, not for whites, for all the races, for the population centers. What do we find as another manifestation? Gang mentality. Gang mentality. Group of people getting together, forming a gang. We only see published in the newspaper the teenage gang. Those teenage gangs are directed by grown-up men. And some of those men are in the police department. Some of those men are in City Hall. Yes. If you could see the whole picture, you see that even the adult society is dominated by grown-up games. Yes, nothing but grown-up games, games of grown-up men. Criminal mentality, criminal gang organization dominating the life. The same picture that there was in Jahiliyyah. I have faith in this Quran that did it once, that it can do it again. I long ago decided to follow this book and Prophet Muhammad. I long ago decided that. That's my commitment. That's right. I'm not going to change that. I pray Allah. I ask him in my prayer, the moment I change that, please destroy me. I don't want to be conscious anymore. Yes. So that's my decision. And I don't care what your law says. I don't care what the law of the land says. I don't care what you tell me is illegal. The Constitution of the United States, the Bible, and the Constitution of the United States say this gang dominance, this criminal dominance of society is illegal. But it's existing. So don't tell me what is illegal. I think they have gone so far from their own law, from what they promised human beings in this so-called free society, free world. They have gone so far from it that they have no right to tell me what's legal. They have no right to use the word. If they want to say what's legal, let them start on correcting what's illegal already under their own power. Yes. Don't come to me with what's legal. Correct what is illegal already under your own power. But no, most of our leaders in the government, they must be gang leaders too. They must have the same mentality. Because they will go and sit in conferences and decide to send spies into a healthy-minded organization, but won't do nothing about the crime, rising of crime out there in the public. But they will sit down in conferences and decide, yes, we must send some spies in on all of these black organizations. Why you send a spy in to check something that's not happening? Check something that you say has a possibility. It may happen. We see the design. Design tells us that this can happen, so we want to send spies in there and work on it to check it. When the criminal has taken over the city, the criminal has taken over our private lives. And you don't come in and snoop on black people because you say there's a possibility that they might do something criminal. First get the criminal that's already doing something criminal. Then after you've gotten him, then say, well, you all have a possibility, so we're going to now send spies in on you. I say, welcome. Welcome. It's our turn. I'm saying this. Muslims have to give their complete devotion and allegiance to Allah. And then use your faith and your guidance, apply it in your life and in the life of your family, and let it shine in the world. And don't give a damn what the world think about it. You go on and do what you know to be right. Oh, brother Imam, that's dangerous talk. That's holy talk. That's righteous talk. And this world says, look, if you want to be good, that's okay, we allow it. But take your concerns up in heaven. Don't try to work for your concerns down here. If you want to be good, we give you wings. Go on upstairs. So, I want my share of the world too. God said to me in the Quran, وَابْتَغِي فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةَ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. God obligates me to get my share of the world too, sir. So, well, you want that too? So, okay, you can have that, but leave your morals. You leave taqwa. So you can't have that and taqwa. You can't have that and ihsan. You can't have that in Iman. Now, if you want that, we accept that, sir. But leave off truthfulness. Leave off righteousness. Leave off your holiness. This is no place for it here. Who are we going to obey? Oh, obey them or Allah? Allah say get both. Work for the promised wife with what he has availed you. And don't neglect your share of this material world. That's what Allah says. Now who are we going to obey? Them or Allah? Allah hasn't created me a criminal. And Allah hasn't made me an angel. So they tell me if I respond to my moral nature, go to heaven. Be an angel. Get out of this realm we're in. Or else take off that nature and give yourself to materialism. Then we can have you down here. No, Allah hasn't given me that kind of nature. Allah has given me a moral nature. He hasn't made me a criminal by nature. He has given me a moral nature. And Allah has given me an appetite for the things that help me grow in the material world. Allah has given me that appetite. And I know by studying the Quran now that that growth in the material world also aids the inner development, that it improves the inner person. The inner person grows better. He becomes better. So actually, the experience in this world helps prepare us for excellence in the next. And that no man can have excellence in the latter world without having experience in this material world. Allah says in the Quran, He has never sent a messenger without prescribing for them wives and children. Wives? That's sex, flesh. That's sex. You have to have sex with your wife. And you have to be responsible. You have to be obligated to your wife. That means you're going to have to work. You got a wife, you have to work in the world. You have to have business. You have to have some productive life, income. You're going to have children. That's going to increase the obligation. Plus now you're going to have to be a kind of a political, governmental authority. Because you've got an order here. You've got a social order here. You've got a wife and children. So it's telling us that we have to move into the four dimension of life that is possible for the human being. And in doing it, we experience that kind of experience that makes a better inward person. It enriches the inward person. We receive an inward development, an inward growth, as a consequence of us being involved in the material world. And you can't get it without it. What I'm saying that your spirituality, your inner self, in order for it to grow and develop for the hereafter, you have to have involvement in this world. You have to be in economics. You have to be in government. You have to be in everything. You have to be a society involved in the full activities of human beings, of human society. That's right. It's a requirement. for the afterlife. Yes, this is it. I'm not teaching. I'm repeating. Yes, I'm only saying what I've given you what I read, what I know to be fact in this religion. So let us accept that and grow. I'm not hearing with the whip, Bob, because I know you don't have time like this often. This is a great day. Great day. You know, they used to tell us, they say, "Are you lucky, Muhammad?" I say, "Yep." I say, "Yeah, boss." You think I don't call the boss, the white man, or the brown man, or the red man, or the black man, whoever's my boss on a job, you think I don't call him boss? I like to call him boss. I say, "Yeah, boss." I say, "What will you?" He says, "You're lucky to get in. This is a new company. You're getting in on the ground floor." Now, this is a new day. The clock has run out again. And the intelligence of society has been toppled again. And the Muslim, if he holds on to the light of this religion, he has a chance to come in on the ground floor. He has a chance to get into the position and be responsible for the future. Yes. Be responsible for the future life of society. That is, make a contribution, I mean. After all, Allah, he's governing all the time. No matter what we do, Allah will manage things. But we have an opportunity. So let us get in on the ground floor and take that opportunity. Move ahead. Go ahead. Press forward. We are blessed now for the first time to have access to knowledge that established people. Listen. For the first time in our history in this part of this world, we are blessed to have access to that precious knowledge, peculiar knowledge, rare knowledge, that established people. The European, he established with his knowledge. The Chinese, the Japanese, they established with their knowledge. We have even a better one, even a greater one. More right, more pure, better, clear, more consistent. It's whole, it's perfect. We have the opportunity for the first time to establish ourselves in the light of what God has revealed. We couldn't do it before. There's no knowledge in Christianity to establish us. Not in the preachers, not in our leaders. If there were, we would be established. We would find establishment. The African American under Christianity has just about been blown off course by the winds of these turbulent days. Is that not a fact? Yes. We look at the church leadership and at the masses there in the church. It doesn't represent the kind of devotional moral sense that used to be in most of them. No. They have been swept off course like drifting, just drifting out at sea. Some of them have become so political you can't recognize the gospel anymore in what they say. Others have become so materialistic it sounds like a gimmick, a money-making gimmick. They preach the money-making thing. Yes. Few are trying to hold on, but for the African-American masses and for all the other masses in America now, They don't have no stability, no real sure thing in that at all. No. They offer nothing. And they never did have that kind of knowledge that established people and give people really anchor, roots, structure, firmness. Mm-mm. They didn't have it. You never achieved it through that institution or through their guidance. We have never been able to achieve that. In fact, the only movement that have come close to giving us some kind of balanced life and a well-structured life have been social movements, political movements, not church movements. The church have had to come out of the church and get into political movements or social movements or something else to achieve something of value for us. Yeah. And that has been haphazard. Haphazard. Hits and misses in the dark. So I say again, for the first time, we, African-American masses and the masses in America, all of them, if they want to accept it, for the first time, we have access to knowledge that establishes people. You buy communist ideology, and immediately you come under a communist hierarchy. And you're in the same old inferior weak position that you were in under capitalism. It only is just a different ism. You know it's a fact. Yeah. But if you accept Al-Islam, any brother in the ranks, any brother in the ranks, no hierarchy decides, any brother in the ranks that feels that he has better knowledge than I have, and better morals than I have, better qualified to lead this community, any brother in the ranks can come up here and take over. Certainly. And when I'm not here, say, hey, the imam is not here, it's time to start the Jummah, it's time to start prayer. The brother that brother's qualified from the ranks come right up and he does it. And you have to follow him the same way you followed me. Right? Yeah. Not that we don't choose our leaders. Certainly we choose our leaders. We choose them, but there is no restriction on the individual that deny him putting his hat in the ring or putting his bid in. No. We don't have to wait for somebody to choose another leader. If someone is sitting there and he knows that he has better qualifications for this position, he doesn't have to wait for an election. He says, look, I would like to help the imam. I can do it. I believe I have more ability. I have a better job. I can do a better job. I would like to help the imam. If he helps the imam, he becomes the imam if he has the greater ability. Right? He shouldn't say, I want to topple the imam. That would be the wrong attitude. He should say, I want to help the imam. And if he comes and helps the imam and he has the great ability, soon I will see, and if I'm a good Muslim, I'll say, this man should be the imam. Right? Yes, if I'm a good Muslim, I'll say, this man should be the imam. He should be the main leader here, not me. He's more qualified. He's the better one to lead us. And if I don't say it and you keep seeing it, you should say, hey, You haven't seen yet the light, brother imam. This man is better to lead us than you. Yes. This is a true Islamic community. That's the way they would do. They would behave at that way. And all of us have the Quran. But in the communist society, there materials that the little people, that the down, the people under them can't get. And in the church, there are books that the little ones can't get. Only the top people in the church can get those books. But in this religion, the highest knowledge is available to all. The highest. They have nothing higher than that. Believe me, they have nothing better than this, the Quran. Nowhere. Allahu Akbar.
As-salamu alaykum, brothers and sisters. Alhamdulillah, al-Imam is going to return second portion of this morning's broadcast. But I want to just jump in the 1 minute or 2 minutes of there. Just something that comes to mind in his last comments. He talked about communism. He talked about capitalism. That is, he mentioned it, right? And many of you will remember, and perhaps you have access to it. I'm going to go back to it myself. Capitalistic communism, when the imam was dealing with that. So what the imam was speaking of with regard to, we have access to the highest knowledge. It is so absolutely, positively true. And what the imam is saying here, you listen to something that was said 40 years ago. And again, even more so when you talk about capitalistic communism. So, in any case, I'm going to mention a name. Remember the fishbone, right? Remember the fishbone. And this is, his name is James Lindsay, L-I-N-D-S-A-Y. So L-I-N-D-S-A-Y, right? And what he's dealing with, well, I'll tell you what he's dealing with. Gnosticism, Hermeticism, and how the woke culture and all of this language changing that's going on in the world, right? It takes it all the way back to these, well, I'm going to call them mystery systems. The only mysteries, as like the imam said, because most people are not given access to higher knowledge. So I'm just mentioning that so that, you know, if you're interested in trying to find out what's really behind the whole, the alphabet communities, and where is their language coming from? It's all grounded in philosophers like Hegel, H-E-G-E-L, Marx, and these kind of philosophers. But by the time the masses get there, you know, we think it's like a normal, natural, we just got it. You know, this is a philosophical, ideological wizardry that's actually operating in society. I'm saying too much. But inshallah, we'll get back to what the imam is saying. Just, yeah, look into it. But it's, you know, it's a challenge to vocabulary and the like. But I'm trying to say to you that the ideas are there. And inshallah, I'm going to start putting out little vignettes. So if you're in touch with my Instagram program platform, what have you, I'll probably do some of those things, maybe some live shorts on YouTube and Facebook. Because some of these ideas, you just got to put them out there, you know, just put them out there, kind of like a la carte. And you pick up on them as much as you can. But in any case, no matter what it is you're doing, level up on your knowledge. Because whatever it is that you are not having, not doing, not achieving, not sensing, not experiencing, it's because of what you don't know. Is because of what you don't know. So if you want to see things change in whatever that area is, then you have to level up on your knowledge of that, whatever it is. You know, golf, that's in the news nowadays, right? It doesn't matter. It can be golf, it can be tennis, it can be basketball, it can be, you know, culinary arts, it can be Quranic Arabic. Anywhere, in any case, it's leveling up on your knowledge. So we're going to return to the imam's presentation, which is now in progress. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Maybe next week I'll have the green suit clean, and maybe it will be the most presentable one. But today, this was the best I had to come here with this morning, this afternoon. And that's what I wore. And every time I come here, I find the best that I have in my closet. And I put it on, I come here. Wear your beautiful apparel. Eat and drink. But do not waste. How wonderful Allah is. You know, we want to feed ourselves. So he says, he tells you, eat and drink. But do not be wasteful. Don't be a glutton, a pig. Don't be selfish. Anytime you are consuming many times over what you need, then you are selfish. Nobody has to tell me. I know you're selfish. And anybody else with good sense know you're a selfish person. If you're consuming many times over what you need for yourself, then you're selfish. It looks like it should come to your mind sometimes. I don't need all this that I keep using. For surely he loves not those who waste, those who go to extremes, exceed the normal limits, go way beyond the normal limits. That leads to corruption. It leads to self-corruption. It leads to slavery of the self. You make yourself a slave to those things that you're feeding on. And again, the Most High says in the Quran that the wasters are the brothers of the devils. Now, do believers want to be in the family of the devils? Praise be to Allah Most High. The believers should be steadfast, fearless, confident. We should never be shaky. If we understand the Quran, the clear, plain teachings of the Quran, and if we are truly believers, there should be no fear on us, except the fear of Allah. Not that we can't be made afraid, but the fear of Allah should be so strong that immediately when we begin to sense fear of something else, the soothing faith in Allah comes and soothes us, and that fear is removed, because Allah is the greatest fear in us. We should know that Allah is living. Was never born, never tires, never sleeps, never slumbers, never is weakened, never dies, never is affected by anything. Because this is a clear teaching of the Quran. If we are believers, we accept that. We don't question that. And why is it given like that in the Quran? To correct the mistakes that are in other scriptures that have fallen into the hands of misguided people and wrong people. The scriptures that the Jews have and the Christians have say the Lord sleepeth. And they beg, they pray to the Lord, beg the Lord, wake up, Lord, rise up. And that scripture says that the Lord dies. He died for our sins. Now the Lord that sleepeth is the Father. They say this Father sleeping. And they say, rise up, O Lord. You don't see what's happening to us. You're sleeping. And then in the later book, the New Testament, they say the Lord died. He died for the sins of the world. And the Old Testament, it says the Lord got tired. The sins of the world got heavy on him. And it repented him that he had made the man. So the Quran comes addressing language that was used before. Now, if you were using that same language, are you thinking in the same vein, then it's condemning you just like it did the language before. We're trying to help you because we believe you come here you for some reason. Again, Allah says, tell my servants, my devotees, who call on me, I am near. I am near. And I answer the caller when he calls. Therefore, let them answer my call. Therefore, let them answer my call. Tell them I'm near, and I answer, I respond to their call when they call, and let them also answer, respond to my call. That's the bargain. He said, oh, how come I didn't get my prayer answered last week? Did you respond to his call? He called you too. With the mouth of the prophet, he called you. And the messages in the Quran kept there clear for us. So if you are smoking reefers and going with young women and not married to them, are engaging in criminal activities, are giving yourself to lust rather than fear of Allah, then question yourself first. Allah called me from these things. And I'm giving myself to these things with no shyness, with no fear, with no repentance. I'm trying to justify the thing that Allah said is wrong. That's why Allah won't answer me. So let me get myself together so I can get an answer. That's what I would do. That's the way I would think. In the light of what Allah has revealed in the Quran, that's the way we are supposed to think. You're either right or you're wrong. Every man that gets his hands dirty today is not nasty. But every man that likes dirt on his hands is nasty. So let us understand that we are supposed to give our hearts to Allah. The heart is supposed to be for Allah. Maybe we make a mistake. Maybe we violate a law. But the heart is supposed to feel bad over that. Because the heart is supposed to be for Allah. And again, Allah says to his prophet, to the believers, wherever two of them meet together, Allah is the third among them. And any number bigger, he is the next one among them. I read an article that was given to me by Hassan Sharif from the newspaper. And it says that President Reagan was asked the question about the blue phone in his office. There was a red one there, and it said, that one is to Moscow, the hotline.
connection so that if any confusion get in between the two superpowers, they're afraid that one might unleash the nuclear weaponry, bombs, so they could quickly, right away, have quick contact with each other. Says, what's wrong? There's some confusion in our communication. What's wrong? You're not getting ready to let go of your fire, you know? Well, they could contact each other real quick so that they can avoid an accidental holocaust. So the president was asked about the blue phone. And he said, oh, that one is to God. And then later, they learned that Begin also had a blue phone in Israel. So President Reagan was asked, how much it cost to make your call? He said, $4 and something. And when they saw Begin in Israel with his phone, they asked Begin how much his call on the blue phone cost. He said, 10 cents. He said, because here it's a local call. This is in the paper. Now, Muslims, we know better. We know Allah is not in Israel any more than he's right here. The distance is made close by the purity of your heart. The more right you are, the shorter the call will be. And Begin, I think he got it backwards. His call should cost $4.25, and maybe Reagan can make a 10-cent call if he repents. Believers know that Allah is the God, the Lord, that the righteous know and have talked about. We don't look among the disbelievers. We don't listen to what they say about God to know our Lord. They're talking about their Lord. The Allah, the real Allah, is that Allah that the righteous believe in and the righteous talk about. We have evidence of that in the Quran. Allah says in the Quran that I am as my servants say I am. I am as my servants say I am. That leaves the question without any doubt, right? So, oh, maybe Prophet Muhammad didn't tell us exactly. He hinted. No, he says, I am as the righteous say I am. That's how I am. The righteous say Allah never died, never was born, all-powerful, needs nothing, gives everything. They say that he hears prayers and has the power to answer them. They say he's an all-righteous God. They don't say he's a double dealer. The righteous, they never say that God is a double dealer. Or God does wrong and right. God only does what's right. But God is the God of sin and righteousness. No, he's the God of righteousness. Is it that God is the God of wrongdoing and also good doing? No, he's the God of only right doing. He's not the God of wrongdoing. Wrongdoing is from you. So we should understand Allah as the Quran establishes that knowledge, and should not seek outside of that book and outside of the righteous any knowledge of Allah. That's stupid, to go to the enemies of Allah for knowledge of Allah. Sure, it's stupid. I'm going to go to those who say they don't believe in this religion, they don't believe in the Quran as it should be preached. I'm going to go to them and let them tell me about my religion? That's stupid. And the Most High says to his prophet, "Qul, إنما أدعو ربي ولا أشرك به أحدا." Say, surely I call on my Lord, Rabbi, and I do not associate any with him. And I do not associate any with him. And Allah says, call on Allah, call on Allah, and do not associate any with him. I just heard here recently that someone outside of this community claiming to be true Muslim said, call on Prophet Muhammad too in your prayers. Don't you know that Saudi Arabia, where you make Hajj, became so corrupt that it took bloodshed to clean the place up again? I'm talking about since Prophet Muhammad. I'm talking about just less than a century ago. Less than 100 years ago, this happened. So you who claim to be members of this community and claim to follow Imam Wahduddin Muhammad, don't be stupid. Don't think because a man came from Egypt or Pakistan or some Islamic country that he's an authority to lead you. And you listen to him as though he's Prophet Muhammad reincarnated or something, thinking simply because he came from that land, he has more right to tell you what Islam is, what this religion is, than I do. The right to tell you what this religion is, the right that is established on my faith, on his faith. Is his faith pure? Is his heart sound? Are his intentions good? Is he in his life an example of this way? That's how you judge. You don't ask him what's his name, where he come from, what nationality. You look at him, you say, how that dude is walking, how that dude is talking. What is he doing? How is he following the straight path of Allah? How is he exemplifying what Prophet Muhammad exemplified in his life? You weigh him on all of those things and then say whether he's qualified to talk to you or not. But you are putty-minded, putty-brained, worshippers of others rather than Allah. And anybody come with a foreign tongue or a different dress, right away you want to sit on them. You think he's the Majid. Don't be silly. The world won't give you any credit for accepting strangers when Allah has blessed you with a member of your own house that's qualified to lead you in the straight path. I'm not trying to prejudice you against Arabs. I'm trying to bring you back to your good senses. Because it's not Arabs. If they could bring a little weird dude here from Trilac Zone 58, he wouldn't even have to be a creature of earth. And if he came among you and did a ruk'ah, you would follow him rather than follow me because he looks foreign. Believers know that Allah is our Lord. He is God. He is creator of everything. He has power over everything. He is the boss. He is the owner of everything. In this Quran, Allah says, when they are asked, who gives life and who gives death? They will say, Allah. When they ask, who regulates the heavens and earth? Who regulates the universe? They will say, Allah. But still they associate others with him. And Allah says in the Quran that he is the owner, the absolute owner. Then how are any of these associates equal with me? That's what Allah says. Praise be to Allah. That he is the absolute owner. Now how are any of these associates you're talking about qualified to be put in some kind of category with God? When you admit yourself that they didn't create themselves, you admit that what they used while they were living was also the creation of the same Lord, Allah. You admit that what caused them to go away from here was the law of that same Lord, Allah. You admit that if they come back here, if it's possible to come back to a life again, it will be by the power of that same Lord, Allah. They admit that everything belonged to Allah, that he created everything and everything belongs to him. If they have a Lord, they say that Lord is his son. That Lord is his son? Then what does his son own? His son doesn't even own himself. The son is owned by my Lord, Allah. My God, by Allah, own your God. This is just a straight truth, a straight fact that they admit, my Allah, he owns your God. He created your God. He caused your God to live, he caused your God to die. And if your God expects the resurrection, it will be by my Allah. And your Allah, your God, my Allah had everything. He made everything, he had it. Yours have nothing. That's what you say. That's what they say. And the Bible said, Jesus said, I am the tenant. The garden belongs to my Father. He didn't own the garden that he was working in. He said, He's the husband. I'm just attending. I'm just working in here. So my Allah own your God, created your God, owns your God, and also owns the field your God worked in. And all that your God reaped, my Allah owned it. He says the harvest is for the Lord, Allah, the God, for the Father, not for the Son. The Son doesn't harvest anything. So everything goes back to my Allah, even your God. We're going to be stupid now. Muslims going to be stupid. After 5 or 6 or 7 years listening to this clear teaching from the Quran, you're going to be stupid to go back there and say, Farad Muhammad, if he wasn't God in the person, he was Jibreel. He was the angel Gabriel. Are you going to be that stupid?
You've been listening to Imam Wat Deen Muhammad. Tune in next week at the same time and station for the world broadcast of Imam Wat Deen Muhammad Speaks, produced by the American Muslim.
This is my God.